to call to order the meeting of the Utility Financial Oversight Committee. Could we have roll taken, please?
Chairperson Engelmann? Vice Chairperson Bennett?
Here.
Member Bowling?
Here.
Member Scott?
Here.
Member Spell?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Is there any public comment? Nope, don't see any. Let's talk about the agenda briefly. You have an amended agenda in front of you, and what was amended was at the very end of the agenda, we had possible action to adjourn before public comment. And that doesn't work very well. So you've got an amended agenda this morning showing that we will have public comment at the end of this meeting before we walk out the door. So now we talk about adoption of the agenda. Is there any changes anybody wants to make on the agenda, any items you want withdrawn, or do you want to limit staff in their presentations at all, or anything?
None for me.
Okay, then do I hear a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
So moved.
That's from Mr. Bennett.
Second.
From Mr. Bowling. Okay, thank you. All right, now we have the minutes. Did everybody have a chance to read the minutes and look over them? Okay, there being no changes or corrections to the agendas, do I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I would move to accept the minutes of June 30th, 2015, our last meeting, as presented.
Okay, and is there a second?
I second that.
All right. Mike Spell seconds it.
Madam Chair, just for clarification for the record, I want to establish clearly for the record on that second motion for the adoption of the minutes, let's just ask for a vote. Yeah.
Right.
Just to clearly establish.
Okay. On the adoption, all in favor of accepting the minutes as presented, say aye.
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 No nays. And same with the adoption of the agenda. All in favor on the adoption of the agenda?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nays? None. So it's unanimous. Okay, let's move ahead. First, I would like staff to introduce. We have some new faces here that might be new to people, and so we'll start with you, Dan.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Dan Yu. I'm a new deputy DA with the Carson City DA's office. This is, I think, week 4 or 5 for me on the job, so it's a pleasure for me to be able to work with this body. Coming here from the LCB, where I spent the last 10 years of my career.
Darren Schultz, Public Works Director. You've seen me before. Happy to be back.
David Bruchetta, Utility Manager.
Sherry Russell, I'm the Deputy Chief Financial Officer for the city.
Good morning. My name is Pamela Ganger, and I'm the accounting manager for the city of Carson. And I'm also a very new employee here, also with the city of Carson. I've been here for about 6 months. And I'm a CPA certified in California and Nevada for about the last 17 years. And prior to coming to the city, I worked at the Public Utility Commission for a few years. Thank you.
Thank you. It always helps when we know who we're talking to. So let's move ahead now. And let's go to our first agenda item. Darren, you want?
Good morning, Madam. Excuse me. Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members. This is the supplementation summary from last calendar year. I just wanted to go over this. So what we do is we supplement with domestic water for our effluent. We just don't have enough to meet the needs. And so last calendar year, we supplemented with 77 million gallons. The cost up there, you see the 68 cents per 1,000 gallons, that equated to a $52,000 charge to the fund. So in our fund, we have a $100,000 line item for supplementation purposes. And we ended up transferring $52,000 this year. which is actually less than last year. You can see there in your package the table. And what the table just shows is this is comparing calendar year 14 to calendar year 15, and it's the domestic water supplementation at Stewart Pond. And I just want to make a clarification of that, because what we do is when we put domestic water into the system, it doesn't go into our reuse system itself. It actually goes into Stewart Pond, which is the pond down by the prison farms. And then prison farms ends up using that water to irrigate their fields. And what it does is then allows the reuse to be used in other areas. So it actually doesn't come into the reuse system. It specifically goes into Stewart Pond. I had created a file to work on Google Earth, and I was going to show that for you, but unfortunately this computer didn't have it loaded. So next time we'll go over just for clarification of that. What this shows, though, is that in calendar year 14, you know, we started domestic water supplementation in May and ended it in September. In calendar year 15, we started in April and ended in October. Supplementation last year, 2 years ago, was a little over 104 million gallons. Last year was 77 million gallons. The cost that we used to determine the transfer, 68 cents per thousand and one more decimal out. And you can see here's the amounts. Last 2 years ago, 71,000 and 52,000. And the last item in your package was, where does this number come from, this 68 cents? And I just, it's an interlocal agreement that we have, and I included that in your package. Here's the interlocal agreement that we have with Douglas County, and on the last page is a table. And these are where the rates come from. So these are fiscal years, which are a little different than calendar years, but that's where the 68 cents came from. Next year, or this calendar year, we're going to be at little over 6.694. That would be the amount that we'd use for the transfer. So this was just a high-level overview to let you know how much money was being transferred out of that fund from this year. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
David, I'm sorry, you jumped out of it pretty quick. I understand the 0.686, but where did the 0.68 come from? I was missing that part when I was going through the materials.
It came from that table. It was just a rounding. What happened was it was just the rounding. We didn't show it in three decimals, and it should have been 0.6. Let me go down to that one. When it was first done, it would have been 0.671, and what happened through the calculation process 2 years ago, it ended up just being 68 cents. But that's where it actually came from.
Dave? So I'm looking at this table, and evidently our price goes up every year. It's going to cost us more and more to supplement, to provide this. Now, we have had a fair amount of moisture so far this winter, I was happy to see. Do we have an indication that maybe we would be providing even less water this year than we did last year?
You know, it's been a fairly wet winter for us this year. The irrigation season hasn't started as early, although it's definitely picked up in the last 2 weeks. So our anticipation, actually I'm working on the report now, our anticipation is that if we can hold our usage the same as last year, we will have to have some supplementation, but we predict the supplementation would be equal to or less than what we have, outside of some unusual excessive hot temperatures, things like that this year. We're also doing the upgrades to the sewer treatment plant. In part of that process, we're trying to find some creative ways. There's groundwater that we're going to have to deal with when we start the construction project, and we're looking for ways to try and clean that up and use that as a possible source also, because we have to deal with that. So we're working on that right now. So we would expect this year to be equal or less.
Yeah, David, I got a couple of questions. The first one is does Douglas County bill you based on a meter reading, or do you determine the amount of the fresh water that you're supplementing? How is that determined?
It's determined by a flow meter that we have. We know how much water that we get from Douglas County, but at this Stewart Pond, at the Stewart Pond itself, when we tapped into the main water line, we actually put a flow meter right there. And that's a flow meter that goes into our SCADA system that we get actual flow off of. So it's a number that we determine.
And then you present them that number for the payment, or how do they come up? Do you receive an invoice from Douglas County, or you just remit what you have used?
Well, just to be clear, this is actually just for the supplementation side of it, so it's only a component of it. So we don't report to them how much is supplementation versus how much we use for other purposes. So for Douglas, for this is only for us. And I think what you're asking is, how do we determine how much we receive from Douglas County as a whole?
No, I'm just concerned with this, from this situation on supplementation, because we have a number up there. We have, my real concern is you're talking fiscal year billing according to this chart. It appears we got a calendar year billing, though. Does your fiscal year end June 30th?
Yes, that's correct. Our fiscal ends June 30th.
Okay. So you had partial use in fiscal year 2015-16, and we're billing or paying off of FY15's year rates.
Correct.
That was my confusion there. We have two periods.
And that's a good question. When we did, and I understand what you're asking, calendar year and fiscal year, and they overlap here. We just tried to make this simple. We put a line item in our budget for $100,000, up to $100,000 to transfer from the sewer fund to the water fund. And instead of breaking into two fiscal years, what we just said is we're going to use the previous fiscal year. That's how we started it. We could further clarify it if we needed to, but we just chose one fiscal year, and that's what we established is what the amount's going to be.
Well, it would appear that then Douglas County is getting underpaid based on the schedule. Is that correct?
No. So I just want to be clear. This doesn't have, what we're talking about doesn't have anything to do with Douglas County. What I'm trying to explain is that when we charge the sewer fund, when we transfer the money from the sewer fund to the water fund, what we said was we were going to use the wholesale rate from this interlocal agreement. So what we're transferring between our funds doesn't involve Douglas County. We just had to find a source in how much money and to justify how much that's going to cost. And so we use this as that source.
Okay, then, is the water fund paying Douglas County for this?
Yes, the water fund pays Douglas County, but this is not the flow meter that they use. There's a separate whole system set up for that billing purposes.
But are they paying based on this schedule, the water fund, the two different rates?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So in essence, then, the water fund is getting potentially under reimbursed from the sewer fund if they paid the higher rate for the fiscal year 2016.
Yes, technically yes. But we just wanted to keep it very simple and straightforward in how we were doing this.
I think you're onto something. I did a quick, real rough calculation here, and I think it's probably somewhere maybe around $1,400 would be the difference. So we can take that recommendation back and look at it differently in the future. Make it good and clean.
Yeah, I realize it's not a significant amount of money, but it is. First of all, you're kind of in violation of GAAP here. You're supposed to recognize fiscal years based on the rate schedule, and I realize we're not talking thousands of dollars, but every $1,400 still adds up.
So you'll take that back to where?
I think it's this. In the past, it's we've done what's done, but next year we can break it up into two rates per year, and charge it that way. So it'll be 100% accurate.
County happy with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Are there any other questions on this item? Okay, let's move on to the next item, which is the Manhard Consulting presentation. Dave, is that you?
Yes, this will be me. Let me go ahead and load the presentation here.
And this presentation was made to the Board of Supervisors in February, which I did watch and found it very interesting. And so go ahead, Dave.
Okay, thank you. This is just, this is just an informational item that Manhart Consulting did some work for us looking at a reclaimed water and storage utilization considerations. And so Manhart presented that to the board on February 4th. And this is really just a follow-up to it to explain because it has to do with potential future funding. It was a non-action item to the board. It was just information only. But I wanted to share the highlights with you. So what this slide really shows is our reclaimed water system that we have in Carson. And you can see right in the very center here, I get the mouse to work, right in the very center it says WRP. That's the treatment plant. And these purple lines represent where the reclaimed water goes. And so coming out of the plant, obviously over here is Brunswick Canyon. And then it shows it going to different areas. Here's one of the golf courses. Here's the other golf course. Here's Silver Oak Golf Course, and down here is Prison Farms. And so what this is just a high-level overview to show you where the main pipes are in the ground to be able to get to these different sources. Just a little background information, and we've discussed this in the past, but one of the changes I just want to talk about, the title. I mean, the sewer plant, the wastewater treatment plant. With our new upgrades, the new name officially for the facility is now called a Water Resource Recovery Facility. It's a fancy name, but you know, we're actually doing quite a bit of new good things with the treatment plant. We'll be talking about that at the very end. And so we are doing some more treatment processes, some nutrient removal. So really, this better reflects what it is. But the treatment plant back in 2000 was producing upwards of about 5 million gallons a day. And we've seen, you know, quite a bit of decline. We're now down to about 4.2 million gallons per day. That's what we treat. And it looks like it's stabilized, maybe slightly coming up, but it looks like it's stabilized. It's been following. You'll see a slide here in the last, 15 years. So what happens is during the summer, all the reclaimed water is used. During the non-irrigation seasons, reclaimed water stored up in the Brunswick Canyon. And I think we all know that the Brunswick Canyon, when it was built, is an unlined reservoir. So it does have some seepage, has some leaks. There's been a shortage of water the last couple of years. So as the flows come down from the treatment plant, so does the available reclaimed water. So the idea is, you know, can we capture some of that water? Can we do things with some of that water? And that's Manhart was looking at high-level ideas with the idea that we really want to do a reuse master plan, update our reuse master plan, so that we take a look at this into consideration. Because last time when they did the reuse master plan, everything was growing. We had plenty of water. What were we going to do with it all? Eventually, someday in the future, we'll be at that same situation. But we're in the opposite side right now. We're saying, well, we have a lot of use for it, but we don't quite have enough. So there's been some changes, and we want to update that master plan. That's what the past reclaim master plans identified. And so, you know, some projections need to be considered when we looked at this reclaim master plan. What this table was just trying to show is what you have over here. If you have our main users, Prison Farm, Empire Ranch, Eagle Valley, Silver Oak, and then parks. And dust means dust control because it was used for building components for dust control. I'm going to explain why this one's went down. But then these are the calendar years, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then we are looking at averages and max. So Prison Farms, what this is how much usage reclaimed water they've used each year. So Prison Farms used almost 1,400 acre feet, 1,500 acre feet, and so on. And then we are looking at each of the users. And you can see the parks has actually, you see it went down the last couple of years. So when we identified, hey, we have quite a bit of shortage. So what we did is we took the city facilities off reclaimed water and put them back on domestic water. So there is still some usage. They have to get permits for dust control. We do some people still hooking up to the system. So we're trying to limit and prevent that use. So there's still a small amount of usage there. But what this table looks at is, okay, so we used a total of 3,300 acre feet in 2010, 3,400 acre feet in 2011, almost 3,300 acre feet in 2012. And the reason we wanted to look at that, because what this next table shows is, so we use 3,300 acre feet here. In 2010, we, going out the back end of the plant, we produced about 5,000 acre feet. So the difference there is about 1,600 acre feet. And we did this for each one of the years. And the reason we did this look is because a couple years ago, you know, like 10 years ago, there was a general report from BHC consultants that was saying, look, we produce about 5,800 acre feet and we use about 3,800 acre feet. The difference between those two is 2,000 acre feet. We lose 2,000 acre feet a year. Those were general numbers, and those were back when we produced a lot more reclaimed water. Sorry, I'm suffering from a cold, so I have to keep drinking, so excuse me. And what you can see is these numbers are smaller than the 2,000 that had been previously reported. A lot of that, we think, has to do with the higher, the more volume in the reclaimed reservoir, the more that comes out of the springs, the more leakage we get. So this leakage number is now lower. And then we want to further clarify it, because when we talk about loss in the system, it's not just 2,000 acre feet of loss. It's something less than that. And we're trying to further clarify it here. And what we've done on this second part is annual reservoir level changes. So here we have just under 1,700 acre feet of water. And we're saying that the difference, there's still an additional 224 acre feet of loss. And what this reservoir change level represents, it just means that every year we look at our levels of our reservoir. And we measure in the beginning, we measure all through the year, but if you look at the beginning and the ending levels, if your ending level is higher than your beginning level on January 1 of each year, that reclaimed water that you used, that came out of the back end of the plant, it had to go somewhere, and it went to the reusers, and then some of it actually ended up going to increasing the reservoir level. So a negative number here means that we took some of that reclaimed water and we put it back into the reservoir. A positive number just means we used it, so we used more that year, so it took it out. Another adjustment would be the evaporative loss. An approximate evaporative loss is about 250 acre feet a year. So what this table really shows is, previously we'd said, hey, we lose 2,000 acre feet, and now we're trying to quantify what that loss is a little bit better, and it's actually something lower now. And so here's some, you know, looking at the last 6 years, you know, you can see it's closer to an average about 1,300 acre feet. And this becomes important when we do our reuse master plan, because if we start looking at capturing this water, there's a cost to capturing it, whether it's lining Brunswick Canyon, whether it's putting in induction wells, whether it's, you know, a couple different options, we have to look at how much water may be lost in that system. So this is just trying to fine tune it a little bit better to say that lining Brunswick Canyon, you know, there's a cost with doing that. And I think that's what really stimulated us to look at this. And we said we'd prefer to step back, do a reuse master plan, look at the big picture before we spend $7 to $8 million relining a reservoir to try and capture this amount. This amount also is not just what's lost in the reservoir. I mean, it's loss in the system as a whole. It could be lost through joints, you know, pipe leakage in the pipes itself. The interesting thing is, when you look at the Brunswick Reservoir, what we have is we have three known main areas of leak, three different springs. In each of those springs, we have a flow meter, V-notch flow meter on them, and we go up once a month and we measure the flow, the height of the water column. And we can estimate the flow. We know that those leak about 500 acre feet a year. We know that. So that's a quantifiable number that we have. This 1,300 acre feet means it's going somewhere else. And those numbers aren't that accurate in V-notch wear. But, you know, those are things that we want to look at when we do the reuse master plan.
Dave,
could
I interrupt you for
yes,
a second
to yes.
ask a question? And let me say that in all the years that I've been here and knowing about all of these things, this cost for lining of the Brunswick Canyon Reservoir $7 to $8 million is just terrific. That is so much lower. We were talking almost $1 billion in previous years that it would cost to do that, but they have come up with a way to line it for this. This is a small amount compared to what it was in the past. So, but also I know that, is there a possibility that we could save enough of the reclaimed water to sell to Tesla? Because I know that Tesla is very interested in buying reclaimed water.
Well, I think included in your package was the Manhard report, and there's not a lot of detail in here. In the Manhard report, they were looking at, like, businesses that may use it within Carson City. Businesses outside of Carson City, they kind of looked at Mound House, things like that. There was no analysis done for Tesla specifically, but I think the idea is when we put the master plan together that we would look at reuse alternatives. There's some regulation changes that are coming about for direct potable recharge. There's a lot of things going on in this industry that are going to shake out probably in the next 5 years, and we'll have much better answers. Okay, so continuing on with the chart itself, really what this is showing is this is just one of the charts that was put in there. And one of the things I just want to note, in fact, this was pointed out actually after the Board of Supervisor meeting. These numbers, these are actually inflated. Some of the calculations weren't correct, and these are actually inflated. So what we're trying to show a picture here is we didn't want to change it because this was a presentation already done, so I just want to put that disclaimer on here. But what I wanted to show was basically previous reports, we talked about the 5.4 million gallons per day treated, how it's went down over the past 16 to 17 years. It looks like in the last couple years it's stabilizing, maybe slightly going up, and then it's going to trend lower than this, but it'll trend upward into the future as growth happens. And that's really kind of what this is showing, this table showing. Here's some of the estimates, high-level estimates, in the $7 to $8 million for lining of Brunswick. Again, that was a very high-level analysis of it, just a planning level. There was lots of other considerations that need to be taken into consideration, but it was looking at that cofferdam idea. So that was, you know, less expensive than previously looked at, because before they were looking at having to build another reservoir. You know, it's interesting when you look at the projection growths out, it's going to be a long time before a lot of growth comes back in for treatment. But eventually, at build-out, we could be in that situation to have to find another storage reservoir. But that's a long-term problem, not a short-term problem. Just a clarification, the lining, the 1,300 acre feet, that's a little different than the 2,000 is before. We talked about that. Rapid infiltration basins, again, these numbers, $4 to $13 million, how to get rid of it, you put them in these basins called rapid infiltration basins. That was looked at back in 2006, and the cost estimates back then was $4 to $13 million. We obviously have to revisit those numbers to see what current costs are, but that's information that we had. And then the next line item talks about indirect potable recharge. Again, regulations out of this drought forum, the governor's drought forum. There's some changes that are coming to the reclaimed water, to wastewater, or the potential. And so they're looking at using that as a potential source. But regulations have to be worked out still for that. The other idea that we'll be looking at in the future is induction wells. You know, can we get a benefit to this that's going in the river? And then the idea would be putting in induction wells. A lot more details need to be worked out with the water rights and how we measure that. But these are just high-level ideas that we want to look at in the reuse master plan. This was just a map that Manhard had put in there, and it's kind of hard to see. I think you can see it better in your package. But it showed if we wanted to do reclaimed water to industrial businesses, these are the main industrial sites in Carson City, and they looked at how many linear feet of pipe would need to go in, and there's some significant cost inhibitions to do something like this. But you know, we could look at, you know, new users that come in, or somebody may have a specific demand for it, something like that. And then this is just a picture. The last one is just a picture of the induction well showing out by Brunswick Canyon. You know, we'd have to put in another main line, but possibly induction wells could be put in. But again, a lot more research would have to be done on that to update some costs. And that would shake out in a reuse master plan update. So in summary, most of these items, I think we've already went through the costs, the induction wells. This is just an overview of the presentation that they did for us. So do you have any questions?
Anybody? Randy?
I do. Thank you. First of all, I off the city's website, I watched Manhart's presentation, and Mark did a great job, and also Dave, you did an excellent summary of it. I madly am looking the on one of your summary sheets. You showed that one, 1,300 acre feet of seepage would be recovered if the reservoir is lined. Would that be high because it assumes that any losses from transmission would also be recovered? I just want to make sure it's clear.
Yeah, and thanks for asking that question. Yes, you're absolutely right. The 1,300 acre feet, where that came from was these tables right here. And if you look down here in the lower right, 1284, looking at the last 6 years. So we just rounded it to 1,300 acre feet. So what we're saying is we have about 1,300 acre feet of reclaimed water that we don't have accounted for. And that is a high estimate because, you know, there's loss in the pipe. There's pipes elsewhere. So, but that's what we know so far. So, yes, you're right. That would be a high number.
The other question I had is the in the table, I think it referred to augmentation of the water at the prison farm. And specifically the footnote. Is that footnote reflect quantities that are also were cited in your memo as far as I didn't do the calculation. I was just assuming it is.
Yes. So these are in these actual irrigation, yeah. What we were just trying to clarify here is the numbers that we showed in the table are actually just the reclaimed water side of it, but there was additional water put in through the domestic water supplementation.
Okay. It appears as, and I think the mayor touched on it after Mark Rotter's presentation, is that there's a period of time when we've got too much. There's a period of time when we don't have enough. It seems like the period of time when we don't have enough is short term and limited as far as duration. Short term in duration meaning several years, but it seems like it's under 10 years.
Well, shorter term, I mean, we've done some presentations last year on this. And it's, you know, it's kind of hard to predict, and I think we want to get a better handle on that when we look at a reclaimed water master plan. And it has a lot to do with, like, the gallons per capita per day. One of the things that we're seeing, we're starting to see some growth come back. I think some of the predictions for growth were about 0.75%. We're starting to see some growth come back. But as you put in newer facilities, the gallons per capita per day goes down. So we want to have a better estimate looking out into the future. So some of the early indications were, you know, 10 to 15 years, looking at that kind of a time frame. But I think we want to fine-tune that a little bit better before I could actually give you quantifiable numbers.
The final question I have is if, and it's an important condition, if the need for the reclaimed water from the various users is met and we still have seepage, what's the problem of just letting the reclaimed water seep?
I don't, that's a good question. I don't think there's a problem with the reclaimed water seepage. In fact, there's a very big benefit to it in the river ecosystem. And if we were to line the system, I think we would face some environmental challenges by removing that as a source. So that's something we would have to look at. Right now, the only consideration of lining it would be to look at, because we're in that short stage, to try and get back that 500 acre feet a year to 1,300, whatever that range may be.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, David, in regards to the lining, and we've got the 1,300 acre feet, were we able to, with the exception of the prison farm, deliver the total allotment to the three golf courses last year?
Well, total allotment, what we were able to do is we were able to deliver what their usage was. So what we asked all the reusers last year is we asked them to try and conserve, to try and reduce. And so we, with the supplementation, we did not have any water restrictions.
So in essence, it was just the prisons that we had to set, that did not, could not, you could not fulfill their full request on the reclaimed.
Well, actually, on the prison, we did fulfill everything that they needed because that's where we put the domestic water into. But, you know, after talking to the prisons, when you look at the trends, you know, you can see people are using less, general statement. And depends on how hot, how dry the summers are. But 2 years ago, we ran into a situation where, 3 years ago, I guess, where we didn't have enough reclaimed water and we had not started domestic water supplementation. And that's what started this whole process, because we actually could only use what's coming out of the back end of the plant. So we actually had a situation where a lot of the golf courses got very, very dry. So then we put in the domestic water supplementation, and that improved it. We've been able to manage through it for the last 2 years.
Well, if you had the 1,300 additional, could between the prison farm and the golf courses, could they utilize that, or would you still have excess?
What I'm hearing from the majority of the reusers, they could definitely use more.
I think part of the question was what percentage of those numbers was potable water and what percentage was the reclaimed?
This up here is actually only reclaimed water. So when, and so that we can compare like million gallons and acre feet, this is looking at everything in acre feet. The domestic water supplementation has been between 200 and 300 acre feet a year.
And so that was in addition to this?
Yes, correct. Because this is just looking at, yes, just the reclaimed water.
Empire Ranch certainly used a lot.
Okay. Yeah, David, I apologize. This may not be a fair question to ask, but do you happen to know what our obligation is to these users, what we're contracted to provide the upper limit, I guess?
I mean, I do. I don't have those numbers specifically with me, and I mean, I think I know them in my head, but I'll probably say one if I'm wrong. So, you know, the easy answer is defined in our municipal code. We actually have that in our muni code.
Yeah, and then I'll let you go for just a minute. Could you supply that information to us in our next packet for our next meeting, just so everybody's got it? I think it would be helpful for the committee to have that information. The numbers that we're contracted to give to each of the users.
Yeah, I can bring that. I mean, there's a specific municipal code site, but I'll bring that citation.
A couple things. Thanks, David. I appreciate the background and the refresher. One thing for some of the committee members, too, when we start looking at these numbers, the city does have a bit of a cushion. If they were to put places like Edmonds Park, Lone Mountain Cemetery, and other places back on reclaimed water. So from that aspect, there's a little more cushion than you might think in some of these. The other question I had for staff was, it's hard for me to imagine that all of the decrease in volume is really due to per capita use decreases. Well, I realize on an average basis it all is, but I'm wondering, it seems to me that some of the sewer interceptor reconstruction associated with a freeway may have eliminated a significant amount of infiltration, and in essence that's permanent reduction compared with the lack of growth or the actual reduction on a user, you know, using a little bit less because of water conservation or slow economy or that type of thing. Do we have any feel at all for that kind of a number?
That's a great point, and you're correct. When we did the freeway, we had some very large sewer lines out in that area, and that's a very it's a low-lying area. It's where everything drains for the city. And by putting those new sewer lines in, we saw large decreases in flow, which led us to believe, you know, inflow and infiltration definitely has an impact. We haven't done any formal inflow or infiltration studies, INI studies, to determine what that impact would be, so I don't have those numbers. Typically, you know, we do high-level INI analysis, and that is simply looking at various storms and what an average flow is versus what a storm is, and then those give us peaking factors, which we use to the design, but they don't create absolute numbers. So I don't have a study or something I can refer to say what percentage of that. But we do recognize, we think it is a large component of it.
I would think that, you know, the Manhard presentation basically points to the value and the need for a more thorough review from a reclamation water standpoint. And I think there's probably a whole lot better monitoring information now with those new interceptors than there used to be in terms of the capability to begin to gather, you know, other data. It'll be interesting to see, because there's quite a proposal out there now for Lompa Ranch development, which is in some of that other area that's probably relatively low-lying in terms of potential for infiltration. But I think it's going to take a careful look at that to get into perspective how much future growth we really need to be thinking about when you look at the three lines on the growth curve as we go forward, because obviously infrastructure is very expensive, and finding that balance or finding ways to allow for the ability to see what really happens without getting ourselves in a corner, I think are going to be really important and really helpful.
So just to follow up to that, one of the things that we wanted to do was we'll be working on a sewer collections master plan, looking at some of those items that you're talking about. Next year, we want to start the process on a reclaimed water plan. So when you look at sewage, you know, you look at it in terms of collections, treatment, and then reuse. And when you look at a sewer master plan, it would incorporate all three elements of those. So what we want to do is want to do the collections. Ideally, we'd like to do collections, treatment, and reuse in that order. That would make the most sense. But because we're doing the plant expansions and upgrades right now, plant upgrades, not necessarily expansion, but plant upgrades, we're going to look at the reclaimed water side, because that's really been a hot topic. So we want to do collections and then reclaimed, and then come back and do the treatment plant, and then put those three tech memos, those three reports together into a sewer master plan. So we look at it holistically. Comprehensively.
That's really interesting. I imagine that new master plan will have an effect on the finances, of course, to the water sewer fund, and I think this committee might be interested in seeing drafts of those before they're finalized. So I just offer that up as a suggestion. And so now, if you would like to move on to the next item.
So the next item that we're going to be talking about is the connection charges. And the purpose or intent behind that in your package for the connection charges was a final report or a memorandum for the project from FCS Group. Last time we met with this committee, we got the recommendations. All this is just to bring a quick update to you. We went to the Board of Supervisors, and they instructed us to go ahead and bring forth the connection fee proposal. So we've not done that yet, but we do plan to start that in March, April. It'll involve business impact statements to the public. It'll involve business impact statements, and then there'll be two readings in front of the board for any of the potential municipal code changes, with a goal of a July 1 implementation. But nothing has changed with that from our previous presentation. This was just, I wanted to show you the final report, and then to let you know that it is moving forward. We just have not brought it to the board yet.
Yes, actually, I was asked about that the other day by one of the supervisors, and I said, this committee's done its bit. We're waiting on staff. And so we brought up the Lompa Lane project, I think it was mentioned by Bruce, and we're talking about, what, 2,500 units that are going to be built out there, something like that?
Potentially.
Or more?
Yes.
So, and will that have an effect on the water sewer system? I heard a rumor that there might have to be extra equipment built or something.
Well, as part of a big master development like that, we want to make sure we're, you know, infrastructure-wise, we're taken care of. So we're going to, you know, we're going to ask that a new well be put in as part of their development project, as far as getting water out of the ground. And then as far as the flows that it contributes, yes, and that's part of these master plan numbers that we're talking about in terms of preparing for the future. So
they pay the hookup fee when they pull their building permit. And so this is a project that's supposed to take over 5 years to complete?
That depends on who you talk to. I've heard 2 to 10 years, so I, yeah.
So that, and our hookup fees, our implementation, go into effect over a period of 5 years. So the longer they wait to pull their building permit, the higher their hookup fees will be, right?
That is correct. Delay, delay, delay.
Yeah, well, if we have to put in new equipment for them, then we're hoping it will take a while. So I'm worried about the financial impact on our numbers here.
They would be asked to bring in their own equipment, right? Whatever upgrades to the system were necessary, they would be required to bring in?
Yes, all of the on-site infrastructure is paid for and built by the developer. That's correct.
Any other questions? Okay, let's move ahead then. That was nice and short. That's good.
The last item up here is just an update. This is...
Okay.
Thank you, Chairwoman. Yes, just in the spirit of transparency, I'd like to disclose that I'm a part owner of Loomis & Associates, and Loomis & Associates was contracted by Carson City to provide some civil design services for the water resource reclamation or recovery facility. And since then, we've also teamed with CME to provide testing and inspection services for the project.
Thank you. All right, continue.
Okay, so this is just a high-level overview, 40,000-foot view. This has March 3rd on the date because this is going to be the presentation to the Board of Supervisors. What you have here is here's a high-level overview of the treatment plant, and we'll kind of go through major categories like 40,000-foot view level. This is, we'll be bringing in March 3rd a proposed CMAR contract with KG Walters and Q&D Construction, a joint venture, for nearly $30 million. And this will be part of that discussion, a high-level overview. We'll also be bringing nearly a $1 million contract for the CME Construction Services. So what do we get for that? This is an overview. Here at the Headworks, which is the beginning of the plant, I'm not going to go into great detail of these, but we're putting in some modifications to the Headworks to help clean up some of the sewage. The idea with our phasing is that this is phase 1A. Phase B will start in a couple of years, and there'll be more modifications to the Headworks. This is to get us through so that we can make sure that we meet our permit requirements. The next item up there is you see some pump station modifications. So we're taking existing equipment and replacing a lot of the electrical components of it, some of the pump, replacing some of the piping and running it underground so that we can bring some of the sewage to the new structures that we're going to be building. These are the new bioreactors, and down below at the very bottom you see another round circle. That's another clarifier. This is the heart of the new facility. It's a bioreactor, and that's going to be a very large concrete structure, and it's going to be doing all of our secondary process treatment removals. One of the new things that we are putting on associated with that is what's called some selector zones, and it's going to help us treat to do some of the nutrient removal out of the wastewater. it's a start. It's something that regulatorily we're going to have to do down the road. So this gives us a start on it. It's not complete, but it gives us a start on it. There's going to be some changes to an existing building here. It's called RAS and WAS, but it has to do with the solids that come out of the plant and where they go. So we're making some pumping, electrical, and modifications to move it around the plant more efficiently. This is the number 3 water pump station. We're doing modifications again to an existing building, existing control strategies, and the pumps associated with that. This number 3 water takes drinking water, runs it through an air gap, and then we use it for facility processes in the plant itself. There's going to be some modifications to our chlorine building. That way we can get some of this control to the new bioreactors to help us with future problems that we may have associated with it. This is what's called a DAF, or dissolved air flotation. These are tanks that we have that help us thicken up the solids before we put them in the digesters. And so we're doing some repair and rehab both on the controls and the physical structures themselves. This is the digester modifications. A significant amount of work here is going to be changing, you know, equipment that's almost 40 years old. We're dealing with dangerous gases here. This is the methane generation side of it. So we're putting in new mix system and new heating system. And that's going to be a major element of this upgrade. Out here is significant changes to our electrical. We're bringing actually a new service, new electrical service to run those big bioreactors. And so what you see in the center there is a block diagram. It's going to be a new building for electrical. And then down in the lower section and in the upper left-hand section, we're bringing in generators, portable generators. We're changing our whole strategy on how we deal during a power failure, what happens. Instead of storing raw sewage on site, our idea is we want to treat it even during an emergency and get it off site. So that's a change in strategy, but involves significant amounts of electrical upgrades and changes in the plant. Civil and site improvements, these are some of the areas, just high level overview. But what we are doing is some changes. We're actually doing some landscaping on the front of the treatment plant. We're changing the whole front end of the treatment plant and how it's going to look, the access road to it, the fencing, but there'll be some improvements to the landscaping. In the upper right-hand corner, that's going to be a new emergency road that's going to connect to Fairview. And on the left-hand side, that box you see, that's a flood wall that was put in, and there's a road access right there. But that's going to be closed off to help us improve our flood control of the property itself. One of the components here, sorry, I have to take a drink. There's a lot of things that we wanted to do in this upgrade, but we couldn't get it all done. So in our proposed agreement, there's a contingency amount. There's a lot of uncertainty in this project because it's very complex and there's a lot of underground and hidden infrastructure. So we're hoping that to minimize some of that, we're putting the money in contingency in case there's a problem. But some of the things that we want to do, we list as what we call a bid alternatives. That's the BA1, the screw pumps. We know that when the sewage comes into the plant, we have to lift it up to process it through the plant, and that's done with these things called screw pumps. They're aged, they don't work well. So we know we want to replace them, but we're listing this as an alternative if we have money left over from our contingency. So this is bid alternative number 1. Bid alternative number 2 is rehab of the primary clarifiers. Again, big settling tanks that we have. They're old, but they work, but we know we have to rehab them. So that's bid alternate number 2. Number 3 is looking at what we call the equalization and aeration basin. These are going to go away as part of the new process. So we have concepts to use that for flow equalization in the new treatment plant and connecting the two together. So if there's money left in this project, that's bid alternate number 3. Bid alternate number 4 is secondary clarifier rehabilitation. Again, we have 2 existing clarifiers, 2 big tanks that we use for settling. It has old infrastructure in it, and we want to rehabilitate those structures. And then the last is the bid alternate number 5, which is storing the emergency sewage. So until this builds, One of the ideas is right now the sewage goes into this container and we have to line it. We have to do something with it. So our future plan is that we want to pump it off site, but you always want to have a backup plan. And the backup plan is we need to line this in case we had to put raw sewage. 2 years ago, we had major failures of our primary clarifiers and we lost our system. And we actually filled that basin with about 4 million gallons of sewage. And 4 million gallons a day of sewage. So you got to do a lot of work very quickly. So we need that as just a backup to a backup, and that's what the bid alternate number 5 is, emergency storage. The last bid alternate, sorry, is number 6. It's an off-site location. It's some communications at one of our lift stations that we have up in a residential area, and it's a very corrosive environment, so we want to take the control systems out of it. That's about a $150,000 upgrade, but we listed this as a bid alternate number 6. Looking at the timetable when we want to get this done, this has been presented to the board before, so that's why we start at the 90% in April of 2015. Since then, what we've achieved is the 100%, which is the design, is now complete as of November 2015. In March, this is what we'll be looking at, is the recommendation for KG Walters Q&D for CMAR contract, construction manager at risk, and CME for special inspections. That's what we're presenting to the board on March 3rd. And then this is a 30-month project to get this complete. And this is phase 1A. In 2017, late 2017, early 18, we're going to be looking at that next phase, which is about a $6 million phase, which is the headworks that I mentioned. And that will involve one last bond. That will probably be sometime in the neighborhood of 2018. And then it just shows the phase 1A target completion date of 2018. So that's just a high-level overview. Oh, looks like I had one at the very end, Carollo. That was already done, sorry. any questions?
Staying with your high-level view of this, Dave, is there, and I'm, my expertise is not in this water reclamation. Under the current, using the current facilities, I assume there's a difference between in flow quantity of inflow and outflow. Outflow ultimately going to the reservoir. Will these upgrades impact that difference between inflow and outflow significantly or not?
These impacts, meaning the first phase, no. Right now, our most accurate flow meter is our effluent flow meter. And the influent flow meter, we've seen some variation in the year, so we have less confidence in that number. We've recognized it, but that will be the phase 1B improvements when we basically build a new headworks. So that'll give us greater quantification, but that's a couple years out.
Any other questions?
Can I just address that one? Maybe there was a misunderstanding. Were you looking, does the technology change the output or the flow?
Yes, specifically, I'm wondering if the improved technology will affect the amount of reclaimed water going to the reservoir, to tie it in with our previous agenda item.
No, so the answer is no. I mean, it's still what comes in is going to spend time in the plant to process and then go out the back end. So, no, it won't make that difference.
Yeah, David, you said because of the some of the technical stuff that you're going to be dealing with here that you have your contingency account set forth. And if I recall, you said if there's money in the contingency account, we'll do the alternative projects. I'm just, how much money have you set aside in the contingency account?
The contingency, I'd have to look at the contract, but I want to say it's right around 1.4. Yeah, $1.4 million. Which is about 5% of the project.
The bid alternates that don't get funded through the contingency, will they roll into the phase 1B or will they disappear altogether? Well, they won't disappear. No, they don't roll into the phase 1B. But what will happen is when we do our five-year capital planning, we'll just have to prioritize it along with everything else, the system reinvestment funding, some of those funds that we got for capital upgrades, those would just become some of the higher priority items that we'll need to do, and then we can push some of the other ones off.
There don't appear to be any other questions. Is there any public comment? We have one person in the audience, and he shook his head no, so so I gather that there is no public comment. I would like to talk about our next meeting, which concerns the budget. And at the same time, I would like to do a bit of a review, or a perspective, shall we say. So I know that a couple of our members never got the very first budget that had our goals in it. And so I'd like that distributed to Member Spell. And does anybody else need that? Okay. And the other thing I'd like to see is, in particular, the goals that we set initially for the reserve funds in particular, and some of the other items. I think we've launched some projects that weren't in the initial budget that we looked at. Am I correct on that?
No, all the projects that we're currently working on were part of our capital improvement plan. So what this committee did last year was approve the one this year, this fiscal year, and then we have a capital plan associated with it looking out 5 years. So all the projects items that we're working on were an element of the capital plan.
Well, I'm talking about 2 years ago, okay, at our first meetings. Last year was not our first meeting. The year before was our first meeting. And so last year was the first year where we had an initial budget and we could see where we had gone with that budget. So I'd like to take a look at that. I mean, I don't know whether the downtown stuff was in the initial budget that we looked at a couple of years ago, and some other projects that may have come up since then, and I want to get some idea of that.
Do you want me to answer? Okay. The capital improvement plan that this body approves for the 1 year look ahead, we have not done any projects outside of that plan for that year. I can guarantee that. So if it, 2 years ago, that capital plan that was presented here for that year, we didn't do any projects outside of that scope. And for last year, it's the same. An example of the downtown project, there is utility money that is going to be spent in the downtown project, but that is a line item in the budget that we have presented for money to go towards that project. So we haven't, once we present it here and it goes in our budget and adopted by the Board of Supervisors, we do not waver from that.
Well, excuse me. Excuse me. I just want to see if there's any areas where we went over budget.
Okay. Yes, that's part of the presentation that we'll be making, is showing you last year's and comparing it.
And maybe we could have a list of the projects. I don't think we've had that in the past, and it might be helpful if we just have a list of the projects. Sometimes, I mean, things are presented not by project, but in general by salaries and all that kind of thing, and it might be helpful if we had them by project.
Okay, we'll include that. Also, we're working on that package right now because we have the March 15th meeting. And as part of that, we are talking about the financial objectives that were set forth for the committee. And we do have line items that we're showing that we're meeting those objectives. So I will ask specifically get that the financial objectives to you.
All right. Do any of the other committee members have requests they'd like to make as far as the next meeting?
Just a question, not to beat a dead horse, but today's meeting is relatively expeditious. The next meeting, do we anticipate it being a little bit more involved? And is there any value in trying to start earlier, or do we have some sort of a conflict, or do the staff think we need to?
Well, based on last year, I think that it's going to be a very similar presentation that we had last year, and last year we wrapped it up in about 2 hours, roughly. So there may be some more questions that come out of it, but I do anticipate within the time frame we allotted, we should be well within that time frame to complete.
Thank you.
I believe we allotted 3 hours. It's from 10 to 1. So, okay. Any other comments by the members? Any other questions? Then do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Chairman Bennett, Member Bennett made a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Bowling. Do I hear a vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No nays. It's unanimous. We're adjourned.